Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two pickup trucks making love. American made.
Listen up, Autothoughts and Decepticons. You're listening to Prime Cuts, a non-linear history of the Transformers franchise on television. I'm one of your hosts, Audrey.
I'm your other host, Nero.
What if things went badly for everyone?
What if it all went horribly wrong? Well, actually, it went really good for one guy and one guy only.
Yeah. You can probably guess by with the thesis of what if everything went wrong for everybody, who that one guy is. Though, debatably, it also went really bad for him, even if he thinks it's good.
Yeah. We're almost at the end here. We're running up on the finale, but we're not quite there yet. We've got episodes 23 and 24 of Transformers Earthspark today.
Sorry, I was just moving my chair closer to the mic. So episode 23 is Stowaway Stowaways. Things are going bad between Ghost and Optimus.
Optimus learned that there is a double super secret basement level of Ghost that they're not telling him about. And he's like, okay, well, clearly this is fucked. Clearly something has gone horribly wrong.
And he finds something.
Yes, he does.
He finds one of, like, Mandroid's
badges.
Control devices. It doesn't actually show him finding it, does it?
No, the episode opens with Bumblebee and Optimus meeting Incognito at the Witwicky Donut place.
Like, we didn't miss that in an earlier episode, did we?
No, we didn't.
Of him finding it?
No.
Okay.
He just has it at the beginning of this episode. But he tasks Bumblebee with sneaking in, because he can't get in, because, you know, he's too connected to the system. But Bumblebee isn't.
Can I just say that Bumblebee looks really good in this scene?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the way they animated it, he like, there's like a boyishness to him, almost, in this scene. They animate his face really cutely. I like it a lot. It made me happy.
So Bumblebee takes up the challenge, despite the fact, you know, he's still having a few issues with his arm. Not quite healed yet.
Sometimes it becomes a gun.
Sometimes. So it's the next morning, and everyone's playing The Floor is Lava, but not Bumblebee. He's got a serious mission.
Yeah. He's like, he can't play, kids. This is so weird. I'm going on a mission. Why would you tell them that?
Yeah, don't tell them that, because you know what they're going to do. You should say, I'm going to do something very boring. I'm going to do, like, some geological surveys.
Alita wants me to move some rocks.
Yeah, like, just say something really boring. You can't tell these kids you're going on a mission, because you know what they're going to want to do.
Yeah.
They're going to want to go on that damn mission.
He does have, like, a very parent-y goodbye to them, which is very funny, which is, drink your cave water and everyone in bed by 10 p.m.
I'm also always saying this. Can we talk about Twitch's flagrant cheating in The Floor is Lava?
Hey, as she says, she's not in lava. It's not her fault. It was designed for people who can't fly.
Can't fly.
Yeah.
Nightshade actually does provide B with a couple of things. So they give B.
Yeah, what the fuck? Nightshade just turned into Q?
Yes. So they give B the hologram emitter that he's been tinkering, or they've been tinkering with since the Tarantulas episode. And also the orb. Do you remember the orb, everyone? Well, the orb is back.
The training orb, for those who don't remember.
Smart Trainer 5008.
And 8. Love that.
And yeah, so they, you know, Bumblebee says, you know, this is not a mission for you guys to help. Don't do it. Don't follow me. And he leaves, and he's gone for about 5 seconds before Robbie says,
"Bet,
but we should go. We should go on the mission."
Well, It's again, it's a very cute moment, particularly in the wake of these last several episodes, which have really been about the siblings in general, but particularly Mo and Robbie. Mm-hmm. Where Robbie just like looks at Mo and he's like, "So we're going after him, right?" And she's like, "Duh."
Yeah. Oh man. And yeah, we cut to Ghost HQ after this, and Megatron.
Where Megatron is off his shit.
He's still mad about Starscream. He's like.
Yeah, so he's like fighting with Croft. It's just the two of them, and he's fighting with Croft, and he's like, "Had I been authorized to deal with Starscream my own way, hey Megatron, your own way in this situation?
I've been authorized to blow his fucking head off. You wouldn't have a problem." And Croft, you know,
Croft is literally like, "He's not even a problem. Shut up."
Croft is like, "I don't care.
You're the only one at this point who has a problem with Starscream. Like, yes, it sucks for us that he like escaped, but he literally hasn't done anything. Why are you like this?"
Yeah, and Optimus is like, "All right, everyone, let's cool it." By the way,
there is like a moment where Optimus is like, gives Megatron a look, which I think based on the last episode is also, it's like, you are literally the only person who has an issue with Starscream, like, which is so funny because he offered Starscream safe harbor.
He seemed to like kind of calm down a little bit, but now that he slept on it and he woke up and he was mad again.
Which really does prove Starscream's point that nowhere with Megatron would be safe.
He's just too fucking mad at him. God damn. But yeah, Optimus is like, anyway, Croft, hey, I was wondering, can I see those secret areas of the base you're not letting me into?" And Croft says, "No, you can't."
And Optimus is like, "Oh, why not? Are we not partners?" And she's like, "No, I don't know what gave you that idea. You are my employee."
"Yeah, I'm your boss. Now leave."
Like, okay. And Optimus is like, "Cool, awesome." Mm.
He's like, these past 15 years may not have been the wisest spent.
He's holding himself back so fiercely. Yes. You can like, he's like vain kidding.
He is.
He just crops out. It's like, I don't, literally she says something along the lines of like, "We're not partners. I am your superior and I have an organization to run. So this conversation is over." And Optimus goes, "I see." And Megatron's like, "What the fuck, dude?"
Yeah, Megatron's starting to give him a look.
Yeah.
So we see Bumblebee sneaking around, getting into Ghost HQ through a back entrance near the Wiki Ranger Station, behind a huge boulder. And so we see that the Malto kids have split into teams here. So I think it's Robbie, Thrash, and Nightshade are the field team here.
And Twitch.
And then everyone else is back at the dugout doing mission control.
Yeah. Jawbreaker, I'm going to be real. Jawbreaker does not do much in this part of the show.
He headbutts some guys later. He's got some good moments next episode, but he's there for emotional support.
This episode, he doesn't really involve, like, the home team really is, like, leadership support by Mo, and then hashtag to hack into literally everything. God, she's so cool. What the fuck?
She's so amazing. And so they sneak into Ghost through the secret elevator we saw, like, way back at the beginning of the season.
Right, so what happens is Twitch first follows Bumblebee to figure out where he's going and sees him enter through the tunnels that Swindle was using at the Ranger Station. And then Robbie's like, "Well, we know a more direct way, don't we?"
Yeah, so they commandeer the elevator and they figure out how to get past the security there. Which is only Twitch. one agent.
Twitch is so good. Yes. So Twitch transforms into her drone mode and gets like an Uber Eats thing.
Yeah.
And pretends to be a drone delivery for Schloter.
Meal delivery for John Schloter, and she just flies down the base, and the lady on duty is like, "Hey, wait. wait, you can't be in here, stop.
Yeah.
I really begin to understand why Croft replaced all of the humans with robots in this episode.
That's not what they're called. They're called something that I think sounds like fetishists, but we'll get there.
Oh, these fucking things.
Yeah, so while the single agent who's guarding the elevator is chasing after Twitch, the other three drop down. There's another moment to hear of, like, really getting to see how fuck-ass huge Nightshade is.
Yes.
They are so much bigger than Robbie and Thrash. It's, like, kind of funny.
Yeah, once again, Twitch is basically human-sized. Thrash is, like,
Thrash is, like, a human and a half.
Yeah, like, Thrash could be in the NBA, and, like, he would be on the higher end of tallness, but, like, not the tallest guy. Nightshade is 12 feet tall.
At least.
And so, yeah, Schloeder is like, you know, he hears about this fucking drone that's flying around, and he says, I did not order anything.
I do just want to say that Nightshade has, like, this really hammy moment, where they, like, put up, so they start, like, all three of them start, like, sneaking through, and because they're fuck-ass huge, they had to, like, crawl through the ranger station.
Yes.
Because they were too big for it. But they have this moment where they, like, put their arms up in front of their face, and then, like, put their feathers out to hide it. It's, like, this really cute, hammy moment.
I wanted them to do the Batman mask again. I know. I miss the Batman mask so much.
God, they are the night.
So, yeah, then we see Bumblebee encountering the classic of laser trip wire hallway, which is what he deploys the smart trainer for. And the smart trainer keeps... I love this, where the smart trainer keeps going, like, wouldn't you like to try navigating through the laser hallway? It would be great practice. And Bumblebee just goes, no.
Their parent's child.
Yeah, it's like, I want you to do it because I literally can't. And the orb goes... okay. So, you know, it goes through the lasers, and it opens the locked door at the other end. Well, no, it doesn't.
No, actually. It does not.
It
so Bumblebee, it gets to the other side, and Bumblebee's like, okay, now you know, dismantle the lasers. And the orb looks at it one last time and goes, are you sure you don't want to do it? You sure? And Bumblebee's like, for the love of God, yes, please just deactivate them. Yeah. And the orb's like, fine, and then just smashes into the wall panel.
Yeah, bodily. And Bumblebee walks over and goes, like, great, time to open the door. And he looks at the control panel and goes, fuck.
Yeah, specifically he goes, like, now I just have to find the control panel for this door.
It's like, ah, there it is. Oh, I forgot to mention.
The last bit of this is that as he does that, he just, like, puts his hands on the hips and goes, I should have done the lasers.
Yeah. We forgot to mention the bit when Twitch is trailing Bumblebee and she gets hit by a truck.
She does get hit by a truck, yes.
And there's the classic joke of truck driver sees a weird thing and dumps the thing he was drinking out. He's like, what the hell's in this stuff?
Yeah, though, I mean, it's interesting because... there are obviously places, again, like, maybe it's just because Witwicky's in the middle of nowhere, but there's obvious places, like, Philly.
Yeah, you'd think you'd like...
Where people are normal about, where people see them and are, like, normal about it.
Yeah, like, you'd think he'd know, about Transformers at this point. Like, it would be kind of startling.
Yeah.
To see, like, literally run into one, but, like, I don't know.
I feel like it'd be, like, the equivalent of running into, like, a bear in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. It's, like, it's not what you expect.
Like, I wouldn't pour my Baja Blast out being like, right, exactly. What's in this stuff?
It's like, exactly. It's, I wouldn't think, it'd be, like, weird and scary, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like... I wouldn't think I was hallucinating because I saw a bear. Hey, if a bear or a drone showed up to your door.
Oh boy, we can't do this. The answer is the walrus. Anyway.
Yes.
Schloeder is real mad that someone used his mule livery as cover to come in. And two, the slander that he would ever order from fast food.
Yeah. Nightshade has a bondage reflex. When did they get this ability?
I'm sorry, what? Oh, yeah, they do have, like, they shoot a fucking...
Yeah, like, they panic. Like, they immediately panic when Schloeder sees all of them. And their immediate panic response is to bondage him.
Well, you know, maybe Earthspark Tarantulas does have a little bit of old B-Source Tarantulas in him, and we just didn't see it.
Yeah. So, like, since, first of all, so, yeah, they shoot out, I guess, like, a coil is probably the best way.
Yeah, it's like
to describe this.
Yeah, it's like a weird tube. It's like a pipe.
It's like, yeah, it's like a pipe almost, but like bendable.
Yeah.
That like coils around Schloeder and drops him to the ground. And since when are they able to do that?
You learn something new every day.
They are inventing things at a rate that I'm not sure I'm comfortable with, frankly, knowing how inventors in this series, in this franchise go.
Don't let them hang out with Shockwave ever, because something really bad will happen.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes, huh?
Nightshade and Shockwave, I'm putting it down now. Nightshade and Shockwave are going to do Dark Cybertron in season 2. I don't know how Nightshade's character gets there, but it's gonna happen.
And that's a rock promise.
Singular, infinite point of Cybertronian Empire in the void. God, that fucking storyline is wild. Anyway, Schloeder is, you know, he sets the alarm off, but the kids manage to convince him that Bumblebee is here. And he's there for a good reason, and you shouldn't capture him.
There's a bunch of things that happen in this sequence that I want to know. First of all, Robbie's like horrified that Nightshade did this. He's like, why? No. Please. It's like, there's no way. It's like, we could have maybe convinced them that we weren't.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bad people, but then you bondage.
They literally bump into Schloeder and automatically just whoop.
Yeah, because of your bondage reflex. Now we have to deal with this. So, lasers. Like, Robbie's, like, panicking and trying to talk to Schloeder. Schloeder has managed to reach his arm over to his phone to set off the alarm. He sets off the alarm on his phone. The phone alarm is Patrick going wee-woo.
Yeah, it's obviously him making a siren noise with his mouth.
Right. Which sounds like Patrick from SpongeBob going, wee-woo, wee-woo.
Yeah, and that summons the turrets, and Robbie tells him, hey, turn off the death lasers. Not cool.
Yeah, and then also, like, as Robbie's convincing him, it's like, we're here to help Bumblebee, and Schloeder's like, are you fucking kidding me?
He's like, oh my god, Bumblebee's here.
It's like, I have been looking for Bumblebee for half a year, and you're telling me he's here? You're telling me he's here right now. Cool. Great. What's the point of any of this?
I was working on this lead for 2 years, and Bumblebee just tweeted it out. What's the point?
Right.
But they do manage to convince him to turn off the alarm and, like, you know, kind of help him out here. Meanwhile...
Well, the reason they're able to do that is because, like Alex, the reason he's looking for Bumblebee is because he's a huge Bumblebee fanboy.
Yeah, the other reason, like, he just wants to know why. He's like, I don't get it. We're the good guys, right? And everyone, you know, kind of goes, well,
he's like, I know Bumblebee's the most heroist hero of them all. I know he would never do anything bad. That's why I want to track him down to get him to join us. I know we could do so much good together. So he's like, so they're like, okay, so, like, we can unpack all that later, but can you help us help him right now? And he's like, yes.
Meanwhile, you know, Croft is about to go investigate the alarm, and Optimus, knowing exactly what's going on, pretty much, at least knowing that Bumblebee's in the building, goes, oh, it's just Teletran, you know, Teletran's one's getting old and, you know, glitchy, it's fine. When Schloeder turns off the alarm, Croft just looks at him and goes, yeah, alright, sure. Because obviously she knows that someone turned it off manually, and it wasn't a glitch.
Yeah, she seems, Teletran seems to be working fine. As she leaves, Megatron turns to Optimus and goes, okay, seriously, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's like, bro, you need to tell me what's up.
Optimus, so does Optimus explain then?
No, I think he explains off screen.
No, he explains it because he's like, I'm not going into details, but Bumblebee is here. I don't trust Ghost. Like, he says those words.
Yes.
Verbatim to Megatron. He's like, I don't trust Ghost. I need someone, Bumblebee's here because I need someone to help get in. Megatron responds with, deception. I didn't think you had it in you.
He's like, damn, that's hot.
Yeah. He's so horny for it.
And yeah, why do they keep it in the secret basement? What's so bad? What's so gnarly that they would keep the knowledge of it from their Autobot allies? Well, it's a fucking space bridge.
Now, before we get there, we do have to get Bumblebee getting into there.
Yeah, using like a Decepticon door hacker.
Yeah. Hey, Bumblebee, why do you have proprietary Decepticon technology?
Breakdown gave it to him after a booty call.
You know what? That's fair.
So yeah, he sees that there's a space bridge, and he's like, oh, what the fuck? That's probably bad. And Croft says, yeah, it is. And she's accompanied by just a single ghost agent. How bad could a single ghost agent
be? How bad he be?
And then the ghost agent leaps 25 feet in the air and punches Bumblebee in the face.
Yeah. It is a really tough fight. Yeah. And at one point, Bumblebee goes to punch this guy. And his punch is met head on. And Bumblebee goes, what are you?
At some point, this guy's helmet gets knocked off. And we see what he is. Because underneath the helmet is not a human head.
It's but Beaker from the Muppets.
Yeah, it's evil Beaker. It's obviously sort of an arachnemech type of guy, but with just very thin. And Cross
these are
says,
called goids.
These are my goids. I don't.
I'm goiding.
Bad fucking mouthfeel on goids. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. I'm simping. I'm gooning. I'm goiting. I'm all of it.
Croft says, welcome to my goid cave, Bumblebee.
Here's my goid suit.
Mandroids.
I hate this.
Mandroids goid technology. Ooh, mandroids all goided up. It's just an atrocious word. It's fucking nasty.
My mouth is doing things right now that I didn't think it could do. In terms of how small it is making itself.
So, Croft says, all right, boys, get goiting. My favorite part is when the goids goited all over Bumblebee.
When they goited all over.
Oh, God.
When Croft said it's goiting time and then she goited all over.
So Bumblebee gets goited, and they're about to, Croft is about to fucking kill him when the rest of them, when Schloeder, everyone else comes in, and Schloeder's like, yo, hey sis, what the fuck is happening? What's going on?
Now we get Croft's first name here.
Yes, Karen confirmed.
Yeah, her name is Karen, which is an incredible choice from the writers of Earthspark.
A true girl boss all the way through.
Yeah, she really is gaslighting and gatekeeping, ain't she?
So she killed all of the... So at a certain point, all of these dudes in the armor were human. Because obviously,
think that's true.
You think they were goiting it up the whole time?
Yeah, these are clearly fully goited.
Even before Mandroid rejoined Ghost, you think they were all
goids? I don't think those were goids. I think those were agents. I think these are new.
But they're using the same armor. So what I mean is, we've seen guys wearing
right,
this armor
but she's
before.
But she's using again, like, Schloeder thinks it's just a normal agent. It's yes. normal ghost stuff. So she's like, this is stuff. I think that this is, it's the same suit of armor because she doesn't want people to know that she has these goids.
Yeah. She doesn't want she doesn't want people to find her goid cave. No, what I mean is she killed all of the other. There used to be humans who worked at Ghost. It seems like everyone who was in that armor no longer works at Ghost. And there's a pile of them somewhere in the basement.
No, I think that's totally different. I think all those people still work at Ghost. She just has this separate secret army.
So you could have been hanging out with a goid and you just had no idea. You're hanging out in the cafeteria.
Basically,
your boy. It's like, hey man, why don't you ever take your helmet off? And he goes, and you go, hey man, that's cool. I get it.
Yes. That is what I think is happening here.
So during this, Croft reveals the space bridge she's going to. What is her plan with the space bridge?
She's going to conquer Cybertron.
Oh, right. She's just going to fucking find Cybertron and conquer it with goids. She's going to goid all over Cybertron.
Yeah, she's going to go, it's goiding time, and then goid all over Cybertron.
And also, Croft has there's no hesitation to beat the shit out of her brother. She does not care.
Yeah, though I will say, like, it didn't even sort of like register with me until Schloeder has a really like good line actually to Robbie mm-hmm. as this fight continues and as he's like sort of like fully turns to the Multibot side mm-hmm. where he's like, see, this is what happens when I argue with my sister.
Yes.
And and Robbie's like, you're related? But I didn't even think about before this point, the parallels being drawn with Croft and Schloeder being siblings.
Yeah, brother and siblings, yeah.
Yeah, about, like, obviously I knew they were siblings, but I didn't think about how that thematically fit into a story that is, at its core, about siblings.
Yeah.
Who have a very different relationship. Damn, so, know, that's cool. I didn't
think about that either, yeah.
To have that, like, different this is what happens if your relationship sucks with your sister.
These goids, the goids, they have, I keep saying goids. I'm fucking goid pilled here.
Ugh.
So these entities, they have like electro staffs, basically. It's the classic. I don't know why. Okay, this is very funny with it because they do cock them like guns. But Ghost also just has laser guns, so it's very funny that they have that. The classic, like, kids show, you have an energy spear type thing that shoots lasers that you cock like a gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get their asses fucking beat bad. Because these goids, and let me tell you, they're tough.
Well, there's, like, a moment where they're doing okay. I mean, like, with all of them together, like, they do a pretty good showing, yeah. But like it's ultimately like non-sapient robots that can just keep getting up no matter what.
Yeah, they just don't go down.
Yeah,
they just they keep getting up again and again, and eventually Schloeder and B get overwhelmed. And who activates the space bridge? Is it Hashtag who activates the space bridge?
No, it's Schloeder and B. That's why they're the ones who get overwhelmed.
Yeah, so they activate the space bridge.
Schloeder specifically is like, listen, it's not ready to go to space, but I can get you outside the base. Like, yeah, I can do a quick local jump. And so he and B lock in the coordinates, and then they get overwhelmed while they're doing it.
Yeah, they get captured by Ghost, and the Maltos get flung into a field somewhere, and, you know, it seems like they're fine, and then they look up, and who's in the field with them? Oh, it's a mind-controlled Shockwave.
Daddy Big Tits is back in town.
He's back. There's a very funny bit where when Schloeder and Bumblebee first meet each other, you know, Schloeder does the thing, Bumblebee, you really are here, and Bumblebee just goes, oh, great, this fucking guy.
Yeah. So, and that's the end of the Stowaways.
And it's time we go right into the Battle of Witwicky. This is, all of these are basically, like, the finale of Earthspark is basically a four-parter, because the last episodes or a two-parter, but they're all connected.
Yeah, this episode absolutely hangs, like, ends on a cliffhanger and, like, should be immediately followed by the last two episodes, so, very clearly.
Mandroid walks up in the aftermath of the goiting, and says, "Wow, what a fucking mess. Anyway, I have a new torture device for you, Agent Croft. It's a button that makes anyone with a ghost badge fall over."
Yeah, basically become completely helpless. And she's, yeah, this is where we get into a lot of the worst people making a good point heartbreaking.
Yeah.
stuff in this episode. So she's like, "Cool, like, I'm gonna double cross you," and then like tries to put one of the badges on Meridian, and he turns around and goes, "Cool, I'm triple crossing you, surprise." And he just like holds her up by like the arm, and yeah, there's a
cracking noise you hear. Yeah, he's really squeezing.
There's like, he, you know, he's holding her in Hardtop's huge giant robot arm. Mm-hmm. And like, life comes at you fast, Karen.
Yeah, as it turns out, you know, you thought you had Mandroid on the leash. You thought he was working for you. But Mandroid, he's got his own shit going on. He doesn't really give a fuck about whatever it is you're doing. Only insofar as that it gets him resources to do what he wants to do. And he basically tells her, "You should be focusing on the Malto offspring. I'm going to go through this space bridge and do something." Bye. And
she goes, "The Malto offspring?" And he's like, "What, are you stupid?"
He's, "Are you fucking dumb?"
Yeah, she's like, "Dot Malto?" And he's like, "All right, I'm going to leave now. Bye."
Yeah, she goes like, I gotta go. I don't got the time to explain to you." Yeah, it's so funny that she hasn't put it together yet.
It's so funny because she's like so thoroughly owned in this scene by Meridian. Yeah. And then like as soon as he threw the switch, she's like, "Oh, I got everything I need." It's uh-huh. Like, you played into my head this entire time. It's like, "No, he didn't. He broke your arm, girly."
Yeah. Oh, by the way, she's in like, instead of the turtleneck, she's in like her fucking armor now. She looks pretty cool.
She do look good.
Sort of a evil Commander Shepard look. But
she's,
yeah,
really, you know what? She's really serving Princess Elsa.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or actually, no, she's really, I mean, she's blonde, but like
platinum blonde.
Yeah. She's just gone gray early.
Look, planning, it's stressful work doing what she does.
But she's, she sounds so much like, what's her face, who plays Anna, actually.
Oh, Kristen Stewart. Nope, not that
No,
one.
Not Stewart. I know, it's Kristen something.
Not Kristen Wiig. Who's, Kristen Bell, that's the one.
Kristen Bell, that's right, yeah. So she's really, like, serving, like, Anna to me. She sounds a lot like Kristen Bell to me.
Who does? I'm not sure who does your voice. Let me check that. It's gonna be Carrie Walgren. Okay, not Chris. That would be crazy. Kristen Bell.
Oh yeah, no, they did not get that yet.
But yeah, as we said, Meridian walks through the space bridge to parts unknown, and to do something. We don't know what for a while.
Oh my god, sorry. I was just looking at the TF Wiki page for Croft to mm-hmm. look at her voice actress, and literally the first photo, the caption for it is "Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss."
That's right. So, meanwhile, back at the fucking cornfield, Shockwave is pursuing Robbie Twitch, Thrash, and Nightshade.
Yeah, he no questions asked, opened fire, and Twitch realizes, sees on his shoulder that he has Mandroid's proprietary brainwashing technology.
Yep. So they start kiting him, you know, they're running away, they're kiting him through the cornfield. At this point, their communications have been down, so the home team has no idea what's going on. They've been down since the battle back at the base in the last episode, so they don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I think it's been done since they went to the space bridge. That's what it is. So But it doesn't take them long to figure out where they are, because Shockwave chases them into Witwicky.
Now, see, I feel like they could have ran any way that wasn't Witwicky.
Run.
Personally.
Left. You just don't run towards the town.
Yeah. It was a big open field. I think they could have done it.
But unfortunately, they lead him right into the heart of downtown. So the hashtag Mo and Jawbreaker head out to help them. Meanwhile, we have a fucking undercover ghost agent out here who is pretty pissed at Thrash. You know, he calls him a Decepticon. He's like, "Look, I'm not a Decepticon." And this undercover agent goes, "Yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm calling in the cavalry."
Yeah, he's like, "Well, look what you've done." And like, yeah. To be fair to the ghost agent, Witwicky's pretty boned.
Yeah, there's a gigantic purple cyclops with beautiful hips currently blowing up City Hall. He's goiting all over City Hall.
My beautiful wife, Spam Likely.
So Dot has somehow been in the base the whole time and not noticed anything amiss. She's just been like on her coffee break or something. Dot gets pulled into it and pretty quickly realizes that, oh god, my kids are over there.
Well, yeah, because what is the time? It's like the base is on alert and she asks like what's going on, and they're like, a group of Decepticons have gathered to attack downtown Witwicky. And she's like, have they? Decepticons, you say? And you don't have names for them. Interesting.
So the Maltos actually do manage to take down Shockwave here in a pretty sweet fight scene. Mo cuts the little cable on his cannon with her sword. That's pretty cool.
It is. I mean, like, logistically, it's kind of horrifying, again, that these kids are being asked to do some of this stuff, but it is really dope to see, like, as empowered child characters in a, like, human launcher. Characters.
Yeah, and then they get a rocket launcher pointed at them.
What?
They get a rocket launcher pointed at them immediately afterwards, because they go, yay, we did it, we defeated Shockwave, and then they turn around and see guns.
No negative consequences.
So we have, like, Dot is racing towards Witwicky at this point because she knows what's up. This undercover ghost agent, like, the classic, and then, like, he panics, he fires the rocket. Thrash deflects it. And the rocket ends up hitting the road in front of Dot, where she crashes into the fiery crater.
Yeah. Alex is also somehow right behind her.
Yeah, she also, I imagine he heard what was happening from Hashtag and Drawbreaker and Mo.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they had to run by him to get out, probably.
Yeah.
He's in the minivan.
Dot puts together what's going to happen very quickly. She was clearly rushing towards this group. She's being converged upon by Ghost. Like, Croft is on her ass. And she knows that she's going to be, like, that she and all her kids are going to be found, like, culpable if she doesn't do anything. So she, like, yells to Alex. She's like, leave me. Same thing as, like, Bumblebee and John in the last episode. It's like, you gotta get them out of here. So
he throws a smoke bomb.
whips his minivan around. And then when the smoke clears, the minivan is there, but he's gone and so are all the kids.
I think the minivan is still there, but they're all gone because they just drive off. Because it's not a smoke bomb. What happens is they open fire on the minivan.
Yeah.
They just light that shit up. But then they're gone.
They're all out of there, and Dot it gets a drive home from Agent Croft.
Yeah, it's like, oh, would you like a drive home? They're doing surgery on Shockwave back at the dugout.
Nightshade. I feel like Nightshade and Twitch are really, like, the MVP. And Hashtag.
Yes.
They just have, like, ridiculous abilities.
Thrash can throw a wheel.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit like Thrash in particular got sort of the short end of the stick for like character development.
He doesn't have any cool abilities. He doesn't have any fun stuff to do.
Yeah. And he also doesn't really have he doesn't really have a dad too.
No, he doesn't. He never got a dad too. Everyone else got a dad too.
It's just, it's interesting. It's sort of weird actually that, particularly in the earlier episodes, that he wasn't developed as much as Twitch was.
Yeah, that is interesting. He kind of ends here. I mean, who knows? Maybe these next two episodes.
Yeah.
Super thrash heavy, but he kind of got the least amount of, even compared to the ones who literally joined.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Middle.
Although I guess, you know, he had the swindle stuff earlier in the season there. So
anyway,
they're having some trouble removing the Mandroid badge because it's like a new version. It's more advanced. And Twitch tells Nightshade, well, do we even want to remove the badge? Like, this is Shockwave we're talking about. What if he just blows us up anyway? This guy fucking sucks.
And Nightshade's like, well, first of all, my first love is science, not humanity, so jot that down.
Hashtag says, like, look, it fucking sucks. I've been here. It sucks to be controlled by Mandroid.
Yeah, hashtag's like, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. It was like the worst feeling you could imagine. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And Twitch is like, all right, fair enough.
I do. So Thrash, he does get a little moment here that I like, which is him going like wondering if the Autobots and the stuff, like, it's just ruined now because of their war, right? Like,
right.
No matter what they do, they just can't fix it. It's all too fucked.
The only way out is through.
Yeah, and that's basically what Alex and Twitch say. Yeah, the only way out is through. We gotta keep going. They get the badge off of Shockwave, and he immediately sits up and goes, where the fuck is Mandroid?
It's so funny. There's, like, a half start at first when Nightshade is able to first get the badge off, where Shockwave, like, jolts, and then everyone, and then, like, lays down again, and everyone's like, oh, phew, and then he, like, sits up immediately. He's like, I'm gonna kill him.
Where's Croft? Where's Mandroid? I'm gonna fuck him up. And yeah, he is immediately ready. Like, all that shit about hybrids and stuff, all that's out the window when it's time to fuck up Croft. He hates her so much.
Now she did something that he would never do, and she betrayed him.
That's right.
A thing no Shockwave would ever do in any series.
So he's so loyal. He's so
famed for his loyalty, I would say.
So trustworthy.
Well, I mean, he is famed for his. In some ways, he is famed for his loyalty, isn't he?
Man, I mean, you know, if you're Megatron, you're three lieutenants. You got two guys who are always trying to fucking put one over on you, and then Soundwave's chilling. He's actually a real one.
Except Soundwave has a higher, stronger moral background than you do. So as soon as you start fucking around with that, you lose him.
That's right. So it's like the world's worst dating sim, where you're just trying to balance all these fucking, like, bond levels, but all of them are insane.
The Septicon High Command is my favorite sitcom.
So, Shockwave pretty quickly realizes that Ghost has put Witwicky under the dome. They put it on a communications blackout.
And we've like seen this technology before. It's the same technology that like hid the remains of the old base where Alita was like punching cars.
And
where Shockwave got them before.
Yes. Yeah. And Shockwave immediately, you know, like, thinks of a way around the blackout. He turns to Hashtag and goes, hey, you're good at hacking, right? You're like an epic hacker. You think you can use this old ass like subwave frequency that we used to use during the war to call for help? And she goes, yeah, I can do that.
And she's like, I'll try, and then immediately does it. And Nightshade comes over and is like, oh, science.
Oh boy.
I love science.
Do not,
Mr. Shockwave, there's so much you can teach me. Stop it.
No, it's just separate them. Keep them separated. Do not let them into a conversation. Bad things will happen.
Don't even think about it.
So, meanwhile, Dot rolls up with Ghost and Dot. And Alex says, all right, this is a mission for Dad. I gotta go run interference. You kids stay down here. So he goes up. Yeah, this is when we have some great, like, oh, I just got a ride home from Agent Croft. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, and like, I mean, there's still talk, like, Alex and Dot are talking in very coded language, where, yes, you're, like, because Croft is like, oh, before I go, I'd love to meet your kids. Like, very pointedly. Like, she's not being subtle either. It's a really interesting scene, because it's so clear that all three of these characters know everything that they're trying to insinuate one another.
They all have guns pointed at each other.
Yeah.
Clandestinely, but they all know it.
So it's not as though, like, anyone's trying to even get information from each other at this point. Like, they all know. They're all on the same page about what is happening here. But, you know, Croft's like, I would love to meet your kids. And Alex is like, well, Robbie and Mo are at a friend's house. Wink, wink to Dot. They're safe, but someone has to go drive them home.
Yeah, pick them up.
Yeah, pick
and
them
Prof up. And Prof says, oh, that's fine. I was hoping to meet your other children, though.
And she's like, but you have more than two children, don't you? And Dot's like, purses her lips so hard they crack.
Yeah. And Alex steps out to go pick the kids, quote unquote, pick the kids up. And guess what's out there? Oops, all Goids.
Oh, the Goids gonna steal your pizza.
Avoid the Goid.
Avoid the Goid.
So everyone's in the dugout looking at all this. The farm is surrounded by Goids. We get into like a big old action sequence to end here. This is a very long and cool action sequence.
The cavalry shows up.
Yeah, because everybody's here.
Friendship ended with Ghost.
Yeah.
Now protecting Cybertronians is my new best friend.
Yep. Literally everyone around, all of the Autobots are here. I wish Tarantulas and a couple of the other Decepticons showed up, but you know.
I wish
they gotta chill out.
That was the only one that I was really sad wasn't there. It was Tarantulas, particularly since they used the Decepticon
frequency.
I think it would have been really nice for him to be there, and it would have made sense for him to be there.
So as everyone rolls up to start the fight, Dot and Croft also start fighting. They get
Croft
into a
starts
fucking
shooting.
Yes, Croft pulls her fucking twin like SMGs out and starts trying to fucking kill Dot.
She's not playing. Like, she is shooting up the Malto's living room and trying to kill Dot for real without any reservation.
This is a cool fucking fight, because very quickly Croft gets disarmed, and then they're using like the stuff around the house. They're fucking swinging frying pans at each other. They're kicking each other into paintings and shit. It's cool.
Presidential alert.
The girls are fighting.
The
Goids are getting fucking obliterated, because, like, you know, it's all the Terrans, it's Mo and Robbie, it's all the Autobots. Ghost is not having a good time.
I do want to say, like, before they, like, engage in fighting, I think it's, like, Optimus who turns to Megatron and is like, yes, we may have to do things your way or this time or whatever. And Megatron's like, yes, violence!
Pulls out the fusion cannon and just starts
blasting. I love violence.
I'm not gonna go down all of the list of all of the cool things that happen in the fight, because that's just bad podcasting.
Cool, to be clear.
There's good moments. There's, you know, we get Jawbreaker and Grimlock reuniting. We have our scene Alita 1 doing badass shit. We have Twitch saving Wheeljack
and saying no one hurts Dad too.
We have Megatron and Shockwave broing out, which is
again fascinating that he like offers sanctuary to Starscream last episode, decided apparently that was the wrong decision by this one, and that is like totally chill with the guy who actually actively tried to kill him.
You know. Yeah, he just likes Shockwave more. It's all it comes down to. But there's a funny line where, like, he says, clever, using the old Decepticon emergency line, and Shockwave goes, I think you mean ingenious.
They suck. I love them. They suck.
Just the worst. Just want fucking RC to go, get a room! Fuck you.
She doesn't say anything, which is very sad.
I need her to have more lines. I love her voice so much.
Block this she overhead. does do cool kung fu, though.
Absolutely. There's a fucking bit where Croft calls in an evac. She's like, all right, get me out of here. And brings a truck over and just blows it up with his axe.
Yeah.
And tells her to stand down. And she says, ah, but call an ambulance.
Ha-ha, have you considered?
Call an ambulance, but not for me. And she pulls out that thing that Mandroid gave her at the beginning of the episode and presses it. Now, I don't know if she expected it to do this.
Yeah, so one fun little thing that Meridian neglected to mention when he gave her the... Again, life comes at you fast. She goes through a lot of emotions
in
this
does.
Moment. Is that when you activate this, it requires being fed by the user's energon. So now this device has melded with her, as all of the technology that Meridian has developed has melded with him. And she's jacked in. She's goited in.
She's got fucking energon poisoning now. But because remember, all of the Autobots are forced to wear ghost badges to operate with Ghost. So all of them are taken out at once, with the exception of Shockwave, who instead gets lassoed by Goids.
Yeah. It's kind of hot.
Well.
I mean, listen, they love their bondage in this show.
They do. It's coming up more and more. So yeah, they have taken out all of the Autobots. They have taken out Shockwave, and Dot is there trying, you know, Dot's like, please, Croft, don't do this. And she says, nope, I am going to rid this world of fucking Cybertronian threat once and for all.
This is also the point where she is explicit about what her plans are, because she just, like, looks at, like, I think mostly Shockwave?
Yes.
In disgust, and she's like, you Cybertronians, all you do is destroy each other. It'll be a miracle if there's anything left of Cybertron to conquer.
Yeah.
Which is like, whoa, okay, girl, like, that is shockingly mask off.
And then the clouds, there's clouds in the sky, and they start swirling and being purple. And
so it's just New York this week.
A portal opens up, and something comes out of it.
And then, how do I look, honey? Bad.
Yeah, so Mandroid, wherever he went, he got some upgrades because...
he got some grades. Whether they are up or not remains to be seen, I would say.
Yeah, he's big now. He's like a big robot guy, but he's also got a lot of flesh.
He looks like a lobster.
He is a big lobster robot. So we're going to have to deal with that next time. I'm sure that'll be fine.
Looks like shit.
I need to see more. We didn't really get a good look at it in this episode.
There are definitely extra, like, insectoid arms.
Yeah, he's got weird arms. He's got like four arms now.
I don't like looking at this guy.
Yeah, I gotta see more. I need to see him do stuff. But yeah, that's the Battle of Itwiki. It didn't go very well for our heroes. They lost the battle. The Goids goited all over.
I need to like never say that word again.
Well, bad news about who's gonna be in the rest of these episodes.
It's really.
It's Goid Town all the way down.
And also, I believe, the questions, which, shall we get to them?
Yes. Do we have any on...
I don't think so.
...the Everything website? No.
Okay. Nero from Disney Minus Veer asks, which character would get super into the old zombie survival flash game series, The Last Stand, and who would be the one trying to get them to stop playing that to come play Helldivers 2 with them?
I think Thrash would get way into The Last Stand. I don't know why. I just feel like that's true.
And
he gets super obsessed with, like, perfecting it.
And Mr. Esports himself, Robbie, would be the one
Absolutely.
Trying to get him to
He's
play Helldivers 2.
He's like, dude, this shit is old. Come play with me. He's like, no. God, this really is... I'm watching this clip that Vera posted over. This is so old school Flash game. God damn.
Oh my God.
Look at it.
Incredible stuff.
Newgrounds.com.
Scoot from TF2 Daphnis asks, so, did anyone else think it was fucking epic when Dot Bitch slapped Croft with the fridge, or...
Yeah, it was good. That was really good.
Yeah, the girls were fighting.
That fight scene is honestly, like, really impressively choreographed for a show like this.
Yeah, and it's also, like, I think it was really fun to see a character like Croft just, like, go ham.
Yes. She's, like, just been... this, you know, the lady in charge, she's just been in her turtleneck, but she puts on the armor and takes out the guns and it's time to go.
Yeah. Sidewinder Sabrina asks, which Bond of the series do you think would make the best secret agent? Who would be the worst?
So the worst would be...
Jawbreaker.
Jawbreaker. He's just too good to lie. He's just too good of a boy to
also,
lie.
Also, he's like big and clumsy.
Yeah, he's big and clumsy. He's got gibbon arms. I think the best secret agent... is Nightshade, right?
I mean, of the main characters, yes. It is definitely, yeah. I would say it is Nightshade or Twitch.
Yeah.
Twitch.
Nightshade is Twitch's Q. That's what it is.
But yeah,
like
I mean,
they're Nightshade, like a Q that can mix it up, too. They're a Q that can get dirty.
Listen, they obviously have, like, the vigilante thing down, and they've been shown that they can be, like, very quiet or whatever. They are very large, though.
Yeah, that would be
and,
a problem.
And, like... Twitch is smaller and also, like, specifically a surveillance vehicle.
Yeah.
Like, she's really designed for that kind of thing. So, it'd probably be, like, the combination of two of them. If we're talking about anyone in the series,
which
I think it actually...
question from Sabrina.
Well, no, in this... Not TF Media. I'm talking about, like, outside of the Multibots within Earthspark.
Oh, anyone in Earthspark.
Yeah. If we're talking about any bot in Earthspark, then I'd probably actually give it to Tarantulas.
Yeah, he's got the hologram stuff, he's sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, he's been living undercover for years, so.
Yeah.
And then, yes, the next question from Sabrina is, who do you think is the best sleuth slash agent throughout all of the TF Media discussed throughout the podcast?
Okay, so limiting this to just the shows we've covered.
I mean, it's basically everything at this point.
I think...
Unless we're not counting seasons that we haven't covered.
Yeah, I think we got to stick to the stuff covered on the podcast.
Okay.
I think it's probably Prowl, like animated Prowl, right?
I was actually going to give it to Sideways.
Oh, I forgot about Sideways. Yes. Agent of Chaos.
Yeah. Under no circumstances do you have to give it to Sideways, but I do think... Like, that is his whole shtick.
He's damn good at what he does.
Being a double agent.
Betray people.
And yeah.
Lead them into making poor decisions.
Eat hot chip and lie.
Yeah.
Sabrina also asks, how appropriate is it that the screaming ghost agent did the most damage to Witwicky rather than any of the Terran slash Shockwave? Oh, yeah.
Okay,
with the...
Shockwave blew up several cars and buildings.
Yeah,
he did blow up a road, and that is very bad, but...
Yeah, it's hard to tell. That was a pretty big hole with the bazooka.
It's a big hole. He shot a rocket at the ground. That is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Shockwave, let's not... Shockwave did... We must hand it to Shockwave. He's very good at being a giant
He's gun.
Monster. He is a gun. He turns into a... God, I'm remembering his weird fucking... walking tank alt mode in the show. That's
yeah,
so good.
A little Spider-Man.
Ooh, I love it.
Once again, with the further use of Hashtag's ability to tap into the old Decepticon cipher, as well as last week's door opening ability, I would like to again posit that her ability is an outlier ability or something similar. Oh, yeah. No, for sure
she's
it
got,
is.
Like, she's just tech. She's got tech ability.
Yeah, although there was a line from Shockwave, actually, in this episode that... made me wonder if it was innate or if it was just the result of her alt mode where he's like, oh,
yeah.
You're a satellite.
Yeah, you have like a personal satellite or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You have access to a personal satellite because of your alt mode.
Right. So And the last question from Sabrina is, finally, how do you feel about Chekhov's energon poisoning? Seems bad.
Yeah. Croft, you might have fucked up here.
Life comes at you fast, Karen.
Goids come at you fast.
Veer asks, are you a sword, shield, or a surprise third thing?
Pokemon sword, Pokemon shield, and Pokemon gun.
yeah. I also instinctively went to gun.
It just feels right. I would say I am a shield. I'm shield-pilled.
I'm probably a bladed weapon, but I don't think I'm a sword. I'm probably something like a dagger.
A dagger, like a bow staff with like a blade, no, or a spear.
Just something, no, small, I'm something definitely quick. Like slashing damage.
Yeah. Something quick, something precise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the sweet spot where you get high on energon but don't start dying from energon poisoning?
I think Croft is in that sweet spot currently. Who knows how long that's gonna last.
And for the moment, it kind of seems like Meridian is as well.
Yeah, well, Meridian, you know, he's been doing pretty well for himself since he got the Ember Stone and since he figured out how to kind of solve his problem.
Yeah. Since everyone but Thrash has gotten their dad too, do you think Thrash will get his during the final episodes, or are we just going to count Swindle as his dad too?
No,
that's sad.
He's not dead. No, it can't be Swindle. No one should have Swindle as a dad too.
Yeah.
That's so sad. No, he need give him one. I don't know who's left, but you should give him one. It can't be Swindle. I'm not going to count Swindle as his dad too. He held him at gunpoint.
Yeah. Maybe he can get, like, Mom 2 instead. Maybe Alita could be, like, more active in Thrash's life.
Or RC. I bet he and RC would get along really well.
Yeah. I mean, Alita and RC, I feel like, have the most similar styles
to
him.
Yeah, but Alita is, like, more reserved and more professional.
Yeah.
RC is rowdy. RC likes to fucking headbutt steel walls.
I love her.
RC does the Stone Cold Steve Austin slam two beers together and chug 'em thing.
Women. Veer also asks, how much murder is too much murder?
I don't know, ask the Goids.
Yeah. Or Megatron, who apparently gets off on that kind of thing.
Megatron's answer is never enough.
One, but it has to be Starscream.
Look, it's like Pringles, every- just this one.
Every death up to that point doesn't count. And finally from Veer, will this last stand go down in pop media history as the bad guys, as the heroes, like how Colonel Only Losers Wait for Reinforcements when trying to do a genocide, Custer's last stand went down in pop media history with Custer as the good guy who heroically died trying to do a genocide?
Man, that guy fucking sucked at being a general. If you ever read anything about him, he fucking sucked at it so bad.
I'm making blackout poetry where I'm just blacking out everything after that guy sucked.
That guy just fucking sucked.
Yeah.
He was really stupid.
He was not a smart man.
And
he was not a good man. It was a really bad combination of being stupid and dumb.
Yeah, stupid and evil and got...
Oh, yes, that's what I meant. Sorry, stupid and evil, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen. Again, like, there are also, like, degrees of bad guys right now, right? Like, Croft is a weird imperialist maniac.
Meridian.
But Meridian, Meridian is off his shits entirely.
Meridian has something else going on. Meridian's cooking something different over here.
Meridian's the secret third thing.
Yeah, like, who knows what the fuck he's gonna do next time, but I can tell you this, it's not gonna be good.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be pretty.
Yeah. Slipstream Sam asks, would you trust Schloeder to find a good Chinese place to order from on DoorDash?
Yes.
Yeah, he obviously has discerning tastes when it comes to food, at least.
He knows, like, this, like, the place that he'll even be like, you can't find that. You got to search this one up. It won't show up on your dashboard. You got to actually look this one up. But it's really good, and I would trust him.
Ruby Road Rage. Ruby asks, can you ever find a good Can you even find a good Chinese place in Nowhere, Pennsylvania? I mean, yeah.
What? every town has at least one decent Chinese place.
Yeah.
You just have to look for it.
I mean, is it going to be like California's? Probably not, but like, no. You can get yourself a crab ragoon.
You're going to get a perfectly serviceable, succulent Chinese meal anywhere in the world.
And and the last question is from Nero from Disney Minus from Veer. Can you even find a DoorDash in nowhere, Pennsylvania? And the answer is yes. You can find DoorDash everywhere. We live in a capitalist society.
That's right. Give me Twitch. Twitch's going to get a side gig doing drone delivery for DoorDash season two. Twitch works for DoorDash. Thrash and RC start a pro wrestling league, and Nightshade and Shockwave do crimes against humanity. That's
and Tarantulas is there as well.
And Tarantulas is there to try and stop that shit.
In a franchise first, Tarantulas is there to stop that shit.
Tarantula says, no, don't do that fucked up nightmare shit. And Shockwave says, yes, do that fucked up nightmare shit.
And Nightshade says, I don't have any piney. And then the laugh track goes off. Yes. We've been Prime Cuts. You can listen to us on noisespace.xyz along with a bunch of other great shows. You can listen to us on any podcatcher of your choosing. You can follow us on Twitter at Prime Cuts Pod and also join our Discord. You can ask questions on Twitter or on our Discord, like the ones you just heard us answering now. I'm Audrey. You can find me at Optimum on Prime on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky. That's my funny robot internet joke. You can also listen to the other podcast I do. It's called Pod of Greed, and it's about Yu-Gi-Oh! I've also been cast in a radio drama, which we are gearing up to promote more, so you will, not only should you be, you will be hearing more about that soon. That is not a threat, just a fact. That's me.
I am Nero. You can follow me on Twitter, Dragon Smoocher, co-host, Dragon Snuggler, Tumblr, Cyclonus, with a five at the end of it. Find my other shows at Radio Free Heidelin and Talk Cycles, both on co-host. Well, it's been a lot of fun. So until next time, I'm gonna grab my goids and get ready to goid all over the damn place, transform and goid out.
I'm gonna hit up the SM Club in my goid suit so everyone knows what I'm into as I walk in, transform and roll out.
Goid!
I can't even say Peach. This is not peachy. Goodbye.
No, it's not.